Ball Spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Coming up at the end of the show, we'll kind of pick up where we left off yesterday with the game show talk. Do you have a
Come
favorite?
On down!
Do you have a favorite? See, the questions I have here posed to Jared will be... What is his favorite outside the big three? But that means... That means that you agree with my big three. What do you think are
you
the three?
You have a big three.
There's three game shows that are clearly bigger than the rest, right?
Okay.
Don't you think?
I think of one, probably the one we talked about yesterday.
The Price is Right. See, I think there's two that are even bigger than that one.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Wheel of Fortune and, of course, Jeopardy.
Right.
Don't those? I think if you said, you know, ask a majority of the people out there, what's your favorite game show? I think you're getting one of those three.
Yeah.
Way more often than not.
Yeah.
So we're gonna go outside of those.
Outside of them.
What is your favorite?
Okay.
Who do you like as a host? Who do you not?
We're really diving into this.
Yes, we are. And then the other question would be...
Forget the fact that OU won a national title last night. We're going to talk about the game
shows. That's all you're going to hear on this station all day long is OU talk. We got to bring something different, a different flavor here.
Okay.
What do you think would make a good game show?
Mm.
Like, is there a certain game or that might make for good
television?
For good television.
Yeah, I see where you're going. Yeah.
I do have Sooners taking the title. College baseball super regional start today, but on the OU softball front, their full powers were on display last night. It wasn't just hitting. Where did Patty Gasso and Jocelyn Allo rank in the pantheon of not only Sooner sports but in college sports overall? And what's to stop it? What can derail this run that OU's on? The LIV golf started yesterday. Did you watch? What did you think? PGA Tour had a response to it as soon as balls were flying in the air. We'll talk about that.
And then LIV had a response.
LIV came right back at him. Of course, there's a good picture going around the internet. The guy that wrote the book about Phil, Alan Shipnuck.
Watch your mouth.
That's coming out here. It's either out or about to come out, but some excerpts were released and all the gambling stuff and whatnot. He was there trying to get into the post-round news conference for Phil. He was kindly asked not to go. And there's a picture of Greg Norman behind him with a pretty sinister look on his face. Like, that's why I pay those goons to get you out of here type look. So we can hash that out. And as I mentioned, NBA
Snitches
Finals
get
game
stitches.
Four. Oh, here we go.
What's that?
We've already got text about the game shows. 225. 9698.
We know food gets the needle moving, but that game shows would.
Yes, game shows. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things, whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're outside the listening area, a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The Paragon app has three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. It's got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV for the high school sports streaming when we're in season. And then the Skinny on Sports podcast, iTunes, and also KADSAM.com for that. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check it out there. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
Oh, man. You know what's really nice this time of year?
Evenings with no wind.
That, and then the next morning after it rains overnight,
and the
air is kind of chilled, even though you know it's not going to last long, at least you get that little bit of a buffer between just, you know, sultry and hot versus, you know, hey, this feels pretty good out there. And that's what happened last night.
Yep. And I see that nice layer of precipitation on your lawn. Yeah, that is nice.
Did you get any rain?
No.
Missed just south and west, out to the west and
man, I battened down the hatches. I was ready for it. You know, ready for the hail and everything. Got everything protected, and we didn't even hear wind. So, no. We got alerts on our phone saying rain coming. And it didn't measure into anything. How about you? I think more...
Yeah.
Stairway, yeah.
It definitely rained.
Yeah?
Definitely.
Severe stuff? Bad stuff?
It just sounded like it was raining. Maybe a little bit of very small hail. It was enough to where I let the dog come inside.
Yeah, it looked rough in the Texas panhandle at one point. And I thought, man, that bad boy's coming our way. And then it went away.
It was an awesome light show.
Oh, I bet. You know, I bet.
Made it a little bit hard to fall asleep. At least right there.
A little noisy?
Yeah, it was pretty noisy. But definitely rained. And yeah, as you said, you could see the... Just a layer of moisture,
yeah,
on the lawn this morning, which is always nice. Did you watch any of the LIV golf yesterday? The LIV golf?
I had it on in my office on mute, basically, while I worked. Just kind of soaking it in. And definitely different, but not horrible.
What'd you think about just
the broadcast?
The broadcast itself.
It was new. It was something to get used to. You had that constant scoreboard on the left. There was the whole team aspect, so I kind of had to pay attention of what score am I looking at, team score or player score. I found myself at first being critical of it, but then I found myself kind of enjoying that, seeing that constant live scoreboard, knowing, and you said it well yesterday, kind of like a race where you always knew who the leader was and who was behind them. And then when a switch happened and stuff like that, and then when a golfer was featured, they would expand that score for them. Go, this is where he's at and what he's doing. So I kind of enjoyed it. How about you? No, I didn't listen. Like I said, I had it on
YouTube. Didn't listen either. I didn't.
I know there's some pretty cool, there was some praise for the broadcasters. I didn't take the time to turn it up, but yeah, what'd you think about
it? I was the same way. I had it on mute. I was just kind of watching. Now, here's the thing. It's hard to compare it to a normal PGA Tour week, broadcast-wise, because there's one huge missing component that the Tour has that LIV Golf doesn't.
What's that?
Sponsorship.
Right. Yeah.
And so, of course, they ought to be able to show more golf shots per hour. And I saw this tweet yesterday, and then I had it sent to me this morning, that somebody went back and broke down the numbers
of how many golf shots you saw.
Yes. So went back and watched the first 30 minutes of LIV golf and PGA Tour broadcast this morning, because they were, you know, kind of going side by side, ESPN Plus and that kind of stuff. That's kind of started. LIV, 60 shots, including no tap-ins, no commercials, obviously, and then there were only two pre-produced packages.
Okay.
PGA Tour, 33 shots, so half, almost exactly half. They did take a commercial break. 11 pre-produced packages. Mm. Now, here's the one thing that I don't think this is ever going to take foot on the PGA Tour, but I think the one advantage in the setup of what the LIV is doing that helps these numbers right here is the fact that they do a shotgun start.
Yeah. Everybody's out there.
Everybody's out there at the same time.
Right.
That is... There's a lot of that. There's a lot of brilliance to that for me, because I think it helps relate for the normal. I mean, everyone's played. If you played in a golf tournament around here on the barbecue circuit or what have you,
I like that.
You're always shotgun started,
right? Right.
You know, it's
your tee time's out at 2:10 or whatever. Yeah,
that's right. And everybody's on the course at the same time. And so that should help with seeing more shots and whatnot. But it felt like super rapid fire, didn't it? Like, I mean, I found myself going, well, this is the way it ought to be. But I also...
there's always going to be somebody that they can go to.
Always somebody. And one of the things that I noticed during the women's coverage of the USGA coverage of the Women's Open this last weekend, the U.S. Open.
Pump the brakes.
What?
Back up. Beep, beep. You watched some of that?
Yes.
Good for you.
Oh, heck yeah. I love that stuff. Anyway.
Okay.
The one thing that they did.
Watching the French Open?
No.
No, okay. I'm just checking.
No, I didn't make it to the French Open.
Go ahead.
But the one thing that I noticed them doing, especially like on early in the round coverage, like when you're waiting on the leaders to tee off on Saturday or Sunday or whatnot, the one thing that they did that I don't think CBS does it, I think they do a horrible job of this, and maybe about everybody else outside of NBC, was it didn't matter who it was, but they showed shots from like 15 through 18 holes ahead. They almost previewed those holes with golf shots. That way you kind of knew what to expect once the leaders got there.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And that never, I mean, you never see that outside of maybe Augusta, but we all know what shots.
Right.
Excuse me. We all know what shots are coming up because we get to see. But even to that point, though, they do a good job of it, Augusta. you think you know where most pins are going to be on Sunday, but sometimes they're not there. And right. So then you kind of go, who? It's not the regular Sunday pin.
Right.
Or Saturday, you know, but at least it, even though you know the holes and you know the shots that are coming up at Augusta, you want to see where the pin's at. Mm-hmm. Okay, what are they going to have? You know, you think about like 14, even it's not one of the more famous ones, but that green is so sloped that you're like, okay, is it top left where they're going to have to get it up there, or it's going to roll 50 feet down?
Yeah.
Is it down there where the ball rolls when you miss top left? And you know, there's that one pin where, oh, you got to be behind it, which you don't ever think you want to be past the pin at Augusta, but that one pin on 14 you do, where it kind of goes back uphill to it. And anyway, so that's one thing that you got to see with this. Because everybody started at the same time, it didn't make any difference. I mean, with the shotgun start, so that was pretty interesting. The PGA Tour, I thought, for me, they just kicked the can down the road.
Yeah,
they did nothing. Now, they suspended them. Whatever. A lot of these guys aren't like the suspension from the PGA Tour. For a lot of these guys, doesn't make a hill of beans because they don't want to play in anyway. Yeah. They're done with it.
Yeah.
Right, so, and of course the tour.
Can I ask something about that, though?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what about somebody like Phil or DJ who have exemptions for majors?
That's where I'm going.
Okay, go ahead.
So the PGA Tour cannot tell Augusta, cannot tell you the USGA, cannot tell the PGA of America or the RNA what to do. But I will promise you they are trying to do such things, and they're in talks with them because – you know, we talked last week once Phil decided he was playing, and Phil actually said, I understand that I can play next week in the U.S. Open. Then the USGA came out with their statement of, yeah, we're not – our hands are tied. We have a qualification processes on our website. We can't backtrack from those. These guys have qualified. They can play. And the RNA is going to have some similar statement if they haven't already, I'm sure. So, you know, two majors already down – with the Masters and the PGA already played. So I think for that, all eyes focus back on Augusta and what happens.
Yeah.
Because that's when it gets interesting. If these guys can play the majors, they ain't going back. They're not even going to try to go back. Why would they? Because it looks like LIV is going to end up somewhere in the 13 to 15 event range next year, adding a few dates. That's not too much more than what they're playing anyhow, right? And so then you get a time crunch of, well, these guys don't have time to play them both, and they don't want to play them both,
right?
For a lot of them, as long as this matters. So I think the next thing that will maybe make or break the success of what this is trying to be, becomes Augusta National. From right now until next April, what do they decide? Mm. Because I think everyone will follow suit, everyone being the other three majors.
No, oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, what? Yep. Because I just think that's the – it's not necessarily because of the reverence of the Masters, maybe it is, but it's because it's first on the schedule.
Yeah.
You know, this year's ship has sailed. There's nothing that they're going to do, they being the USGA or the RNA, to keep these guys out because the process, the qualification was already set. So now do they have to go back and look at, okay, here's the normal process. Do we put in a caveat of, except for these guys? And if that caveat gets put in there, what happens then? Can they sue? Which I believe is still coming at some level. When, you know, a Taylor Gooch, a younger guy, wants to play the tour and live golf. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe none of these. Maybe the money is so big that they're really signing that they don't have to worry about it. But if they do, then I think you start seeing Sue, and then where does that stand? And if that, and then does that also go over to the majors? Then, hey, the courts struck down the suspension from tour, and then that bleeds over into, okay, that's the same way here, or is it a separate entity with a separate qualification process to where maybe the majors could get away with it where the tour couldn't? That's the legal questions that are way above my understanding of any of the law. But I think that's what's coming. I think it was kind of interesting watching the reaction from the golf media world yesterday.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the griping that they do on a weekly basis about the coverage and about the broadcast of tour events was listened to and fixed with LIV.
Yeah.
And they were in a rock and a hard place because they were dogging it, they were making fun of it, and all of that, yet they really liked what they were seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think eventually on the broadcast side, and I have a question about the play itself, but do you think now it's, like we said yesterday, it's on YouTube, Facebook, I think there's another streaming outlet it was on, but nothing major. It wasn't on a Hulu, it wasn't on an Amazon, it wasn't on one of the major networks. For obvious reasons, was on Golf Channel. Do you think there'll become a time where somebody like, say, Amazon, I think this question was asked yesterday afternoon, or Hulu goes, you know what? We want that. We want to do that. Or are they afraid to do that because it would be, in the long run, blackballed by the PGA?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think somebody's going to. I think someone will. Especially, gosh, it seems like on a daily basis we're seeing more and more guys commit. Which is another question: like, are the fields designed to just be 48 and they shuffle guys around? I mean, what if at some point they got the top 48 guys in the? Is that who's going to play? Like, how did the field sizes grow with more commitments, or does it? I mean, I kind of think just. Hashing it out of my brain just now because I never really thought about this until right now, but it almost makes it a little bit more prestigious if the field sizes don't grow.
Yeah.
You know, almost a musical chairs effect a little bit for guys that want to play. You better get in or that seat's going to be pulled away from
right.
you.
Almost like an exclusive thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. You don't want anybody in there, but yeah. Now, that kind of leads into my next question. Now, don't ask me to break down the quality of play because, again, I was kind of haphazardly watching, but I saw some rumbles online about questioning the quality of play, the actual effort given in some situations. Because, look, you know, the last place guy is getting how much?
120.
120. So there was a question of, is there even an effort being put out there, or are they just there to show up and grab a paycheck and go? See what I'm saying?
Yeah, that always has to be
a concern.
The major concern, and you know, right now, with what you're getting outside of a couple of guys, most of the names you've heard, and unfortunately, out of the 48, just casual golf fans, what have they heard? Maybe 10 to 15 of these guys?
And honestly, when I'm looking at that scoreboard on the left side, I'm looking where DJ's at. I'm looking where Phil's at. And then I kind of glance up and down, go, anyone else I recognize?
Right. And some
do
other,
I know who
no.
the leader was or is? I've maybe seen him once or twice ever. I mean, you're a bigger golf fan than I am. But it's not a big name. And there's still possibility with Johnson and what are they, tied for seventh?
Yeah, something like that. See, that was one thing that was hard to find was the dadgum leaderboard after
it
was over.
You can't find it on ESPN.
It's not even on LIV. Really? You go to LIV Golf's site, I couldn't find it.
Wow.
I did notice last night during the softball game, though, that they actually started having a scroll.
Line. Yeah, I saw that.
And so
it kind of took me back.
Me too, because like yesterday on ESPN's website,
you couldn't
find anything. The only thing you found was the tour's response, which was to suspend the 17 guys that are playing that are also tour. Now, you mentioned the LIV had a response. Tell everybody what that was to the tour's response.
It was basically we're disappointed with their response. I'm just going by memory here. They used the word vindictive. The PGA, calling the PGA as being vindictive. And I've been 50-50 on this deal, on what side I'm on or whatever. But I think because I want them both to coexist, so that's why. So it's kind of funny, and I don't think it's – I thought that was – I mean, and I also thought that's kind of a quick response. Based on the timing, I thought we wouldn't see a response till like today or even after the event. But I thought it was funny. They're just kind of swiping back at the PGA, calling them vindictive, and they're just moving on. Saying, we're going to continue to do this, basically.
Yeah, I didn't like the tour statement. It's almost like they were whining about being outbid.
Yeah.
You know, talking about the money. And listen, that's a part of it. Everybody gets it. But you got to – and maybe they're just in such a spot where they don't have an answer because they haven't been able to talk the Masters into not letting these guys in or whatever, you know, one of the majors. And so then they feel kind of they're in a bad spot, but – It's really interesting what happens because the problem for LIV is that you've got to have some juice to this thing. You know, there was at one point 100,000 watching on YouTube yesterday, and then early morning there was only 3. So as the novelty already wore off, you know, that's where it's going to maybe matter for a TV partner. Is how sustainable is the amount of people watching? And then if it is sustainable, you know, what can that generate? But heck, one of the writers that's over there covering this thing mentioned they don't care.
Right.
They don't care anything about making any money off of this. The only the reason the Saudis are involved in this is to try sometime within the next decade to kind of clean their perception up. You've seen a bunch of the term sports washing by people that don't like this. I'm not 100% sure what that means, but I think it's the idea is to use sports to wash away the previous sins or the current sins that's being committed by that government and the human rights atrocities and that kind of stuff. And trying to use golf to do it, and there's some guys. I mean, what happens when – I heard them talk about this yesterday. What happens when the event is in Saudi Arabia and Phil Mickelson's doing a PSA about how wonderful the Saudi government is? You know, I mean, those are things that those guys obviously had to have understood were possible or even likely or heck gonna happen when they took the steps to play in this. But if at the end of the day, for me – this thing forces the PGA Tour to make some changes in the way that they cover this stuff, you know, how that goes, or CBS or whoever, to make it more enjoyable to watch the PGA Tour, then great. Because that's, for me, outside of being able to watch some more guys play golf, that's what and some different golf courses, I think that's one of the things that I'm kind of a little bit excited about with LIV is they're going to different places. So you get to see different golf courses that, well, one of which, or two of which, Portland, I've been on and been around. there at Pumpkin Ridge. So, I mean, to me, that's pretty exciting part of it. And if this dust up, or heck, if it actually turns into a rivalry between the two tours or what have you, is if it could make a difference in the way the PGA Tour conducts itself, broadcast wise, for the fans, then great.
Yeah,
way to go, Greg Norman.
Exactly. Yeah.
Did you think it was funny that Greg Norman's tour only played 54 holes? Think about how many more majors Greg Norman would have if those tournaments were only 54 holes. He'd have won the Grand Slam in 86. Yeah. Got this text. When you're talking about the complacency of the guys with the money in their pocket.
Yeah.
The PGA Tour has created that problem as well. Case in point, Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
You know, I think even further back than that, one of the major, I mean, listen, there was one major problem that some people had with Tiger Woods originally. We all know what that one is. He looked different than everybody else. But another one that caused a stir was the idea that he was a multimillionaire through deals with Nike and so on before he ever hit a golf shot.
Right.
Now, that debate is so useless at this point. It's not even worth having when the guy has won as many tournaments as anybody and all that. But back then, that was one of the things that people were kind of, especially the old school, you know, the Jack and Arnie fans from their childhood, and my grandpa, for instance, or somebody of that age, was the idea that Tiger was already a millionaire before he ever struck a shot on tour. You know, and people, one of the things that people gravitated toward golf was, hey, they're not overpaid. They make what they make because they play how they play.
Right.
So that's an interesting observation with what's with tour life as well, not just the live golf. Man, last night OU softball fell behind 2-0. Could have been way worse, except Jada Coleman's a better athlete than you are. Back to back plays where I don't think the first one was going to be a home run, but it was going to definitely crash off the wall. Yeah, that second one was for sure a home run that she robbed. And then a little bit later, showed off her arm. Last night, it took a while for the bats to get going for Oklahoma, but the whole thing was on display. Jordy Ball got the start, ended up getting the win, and the defense was just outstanding. And that's, I think for those casual observers or just observers that were tuning in for the first time to watch because of the kind of the phenomenon this has created, everyone was expecting 10. It just took a little bit longer to get there. But I think the one thing that was shown off for people that were just first watching was how truly great this team is at every aspect of the game.
Yeah, it's the defense that kept them in it until the bats came alive. And it was kind of one of those, once the lineup got up the second time around, then the bats started to come alive, as you saw. But that defense was stellar, and it just, I mean, night before it was the bats, like you said, all offense, and then last night started with the defense, and you knew the bats would come around eventually. I was a little surprised, I guess. Jordy Ball got the start. Were you?
Not really. I think that after, what was it, the first UCLA game where she kind of finished it off, came in relief of Nicole May and showed that she could go. I mean, the idea is always to have Troutwine today if you needed her. And not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, and you know, it didn't look like it throughout the series until a little bit last night. May was pretty good last night. But, I mean, the luxury that Patty Gasso has of three of the top six in ERA in the country, I mean, it's just the bats get all the credit and partly because they're the ones you know. You know, that staff outside of May, which, man, May wasn't the ringleader last year. And so, you know, you've got these others coming in to pitch, and they're newer faces. And so the headlines, they're not as headline-grabbing, especially with Ball hurt. But you forget until they start telling you, until, you know, Holly Rowe or whoever starts telling you the defensive and pitching stats that they generated this year, it's just off the charts. And I know Al made reference to it yesterday when I was driving home. One of the when Jim and Al had Patty Gasso, or maybe just Al had Patty Gasso on earlier in the season, when in the midst of the 38-0 start, he asked the question, is this the best team you've ever had? And she said it can be because we have never had pitching quite like this. And, you know, then the defense that is behind it, I mean, it's the full powers were on display, and it was just awesome. I mean, just what they can do. I mean, what was it, 2-2? Coming up in the fifth, was it the fifth inning the first time they scored four runs? Or was it the fourth? I think it was the fifth.
Fourth or fifth?
I think it was the fifth. Yeah, they scored 2 in the fourth, 4 in the fifth, 4 in the sixth. And so you know coming up to start the fifth inning, you're at the top of the lineup for the third time or third time with Coleman and Alo. And you get them both out. So there's nobody on and two out. And then 20 seconds later, it felt like it was 6-2. That's the part that you navigate through the first two of four straight first-team All-Americans in the lineup. The other two get on. The next thing you know, Hanson's hitting a three-run bomb, and you're just going, what? Like your head's spinning if you're the other team.
Yeah.
And so it's one for the ages. One for the ages.
Yeah.
The team, you could already kind of see some of this on Twitter a little bit, just where does this team rank? I'm not even talking about softball. I mean, that's a debate that it feels like they're one of the top couple. But where does this team rank in the pantheon of OU teams, period? College teams, period? And then we'll get into Gasso and Alo, too.
That's something that's hard to answer the day after, because it's still kind of one of those things that's sinking in. As I've always said this, you don't realize you're watching history until a couple years later. Like, man, you could always go back, because they've had some dang good teams, but this one feels like, back to your earlier question, what, you know, that was posed to Gasso, could this be one of your best teams ever? I think that's almost secured. Because of the record and the dominance both offensively and defensively with the pitching. But the greatest of university history of all sports, I mean, it's definitely a Mount Rushmore type team of a top four. I mean, you can go back to those dominant Bud Wilkinson football teams that had the winning streak and the national titles, and the defense and offense that they played was – I mean, they barely had opposition to, but I mean, it's up there. It is up there. And that's like, I was kind of, you know, you talk about head spinning. This morning I'm thinking, man, I mean, there was going to be that conversation of, could this team be one of the, you know, greatest of all college athletics? One of the, not saying the, but one of the. And it's something you can't answer the day after. Not immediately. It's something that you'll have to sit and think about and see what that lasting effect is like. But they're always going to be in that conversation.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to say yes to those questions, because it just seems so hyperbole right now, you know, just so reactive because of what we just saw. But the numbers don't lie, and I've always said that too. I've always been a big numbers guy. And you're right, everyone looks at the bats and the record-setting runs they've put across in the home runs and Alo and all of that. But that defense, the pitching, that was the best in the nation too.
Yeah.
So it's such a complete team.
That's right. Yeah, that was what you got to see last night. You know, the night before, 16-1. Well, the rest of it got overshadowed because of the onslaught of home runs,
right,
and all of that. But last night, you know, great defense to keep it at just 2 in the first inning. And until the bats woke up, it was defense and pitching that was keeping them in that game.
Right.
And then of course, you got to see what everybody came to the party to see, when that was the ball flying out of the yard a couple of times and OU putting up double digits. You get mentioned with the, you know, in the sport of softball itself, you know, Oklahoma is now mentioned with UCLA's, you know, run in the 90s when they kind of first came into prominence on ESPN, of Lisa Fernandez and that kind of those teams. And then Arizona was, you know, the dominant power there for a little bit as well. But that's where Oklahoma's at. What, five in the last 10 years, with 13, 16, 17 in the last two.
Oh, they're on an Alabama-UConn run right now.
And that's Patty Gasso was asked those two schools, UConn women's basketball, Alabama football, and being in that breath. And they absolutely are. They absolutely are in that, of that ilk right now in this run. And I don't know what stops it. Is it Patty retiring? Is that what stops it? I get that her son is there, JT, and one would think that that's where this thing is headed at some point.
Yeah, she wants to see this new stadium built, so I think she's going to be on until that thing is built.
You would think so.
She can coach a season or two in there. And
so that's what, five or so?
And that doesn't stop recruiting. I mean, you're going to see kids who want to play in nice new things and with the best team and the best program in the country, and it doesn't look like it's slowing down anytime soon for OU.
They got the best player in the nation coming in next year. Yeah, I saw it yesterday.
Yeah. With that pitcher, right? The stat was throwing me. There's a recruit, young lady, don't know where she's from. I'd have to look that up.
And I think it was like North Carolina.
And the thing that, there's two things that stood out to me, and I'm going to effort that, is, let me find, here we go. Her name is, I think I'm saying it right, Dale Kirsten. She's a Gatorade North Carolina Player of the Year. She's a pitcher. She was 23-3 with a 0.79 ERA. She struck out 305 batters in 150 and a third innings and walked just one.
Huh.
She hit 533 with 5 homers and 28 RBIs. And, oh, by the way, she has a 4.38 GPA. So the wheel's just going to keep turning here. The train's going to keep rolling for OU. And I don't know if anything's slowing it down. But what's going to be disappointing is when they lose 4 or 5 games next year. And everyone say, you know what I mean? And back to the UCLA thing back in the early 90s. And this is something that someone's going to have to sit down and look at it and do the numbers and when to start to compare and contrast and see, could this be the best team ever? The one we just saw last night compared to that UCLA team. Or there's an Arizona team in there, I think, or two. Is the quality of play better now than it was then? The quality of competition is what I'm trying to
ask. I think the depth of competition is certainly higher.
Okay.
Certainly. Because in those...
And I'm not trying to take away UCLA there. I'm not trying to throw shade at them. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, 94 Arizona is what you're talking about.
Okay, thank you. But now it seems like the sport is so popular, more young ladies are gravitating to it, putting more time into it. The quality is getting better up and down lineups. That's my question.
It's a different game for sure, yeah. and it's a deeper game. I think that there's a lot to be said about that. Yeah, you know, outside of the Pac-10,
yeah,
back
one,
then.
One can argue back in the 50s when OU was beating the doors off of people in football. I mean, sure, everybody in the state from Muskogee down to Hollis was going to Norman to play football. Was it like that at Colorado? Was it like that? You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
And there's that argument too.
Yeah, this is unfortunate, but Billy's right. They lose 4 or 5 games next year and people will start calling for Gasso's head.
Yeah, welcome to OU.
Where is she? Is she the greatest coach in the history of Oklahoma athletics?
I mean, what was OU softball before her?
Almost defunct.
So, hard to argue against that.
Yeah.
Because before Bob Stoops, OU football, sure, it struggled in the 90s, but there was history there.
Yeah, there was Barry. And before Barry, there was Bud. And before Bud, there was Benny. Before this, there was something called Reeves Park.
Right. So, Yeah, I mean, why not?
I think you'd have a hard
The wins are there. The national titles are there. The conference titles are there. The All-Americans are there.
You have a hard argue.
It's hard to argue. Hard to argue that.
What about Alo? Where's she?
I'd put her up there as I heard this discussion yesterday of a Mount Rushmore of OU athletes. I'd put her on there. Right there next to a Selman brother, you know?
She's so dominant.
It's
hard for her not to be in the mix when she's the greatest that's ever played the sport she played. I don't care what that sport is.
Yeah.
She's the best one that's ever played it. And so it's hard for her not to be somewhere in that mix, somewhere in that conversation, even though I know that people are out there going, oh, it's just softball. Okay. But she's also the greatest softball player there ever was or has been to this point. So if you're going to be the greatest at something and you're going to play it on your campus, greatest overall, I mean, you've got to be at least in the conversation to be one of the best athletes at that school. Just and if you wondered how great she was, did you notice something when she was walking off the field?
For the last time?
Yes. The entire dugout that was wearing orange
was
up and applauding.
Yeah. I actually noticed the fans doing that. I didn't look down at the dugout, but I saw their fans was up. Yeah. That's a respect thing.
It was. That's exactly right. Respect and admiration for what she was, what she did, and what she is.
Yeah.
Here's a question for
because let me tell you, because of what she did and you know, being a girl dad, her impact on young girls is lasting. That's her legacy. Along with the titles and the All-American accolades and all that. But my girl, sure, we had the games on last night and tonight, in the night before, excuse me. But she only cared when Jocelyn was batting. And she called her by first name. Where's Jocelyn? Is she going to bat? When's she up, Dad? How'd she do? Is she up next? Mm-hmm. That is something that, and I know my kid, and I know a lot of little girls out there that watched her play throughout her career. They want to be like her. We had batting practice last night. You know how many open stances I saw? So that is cool to me, is that helps the sport grow. And it's already at a maximum height of popularity, and it's crazy that it could get more popular.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the problem is, where do you go from here if you're her? Most people don't even realize there is a professional softball league, but nobody cares.
Right.
So is it? I mean, it almost feels like Olympic glory. And she even kind of made mention to that was, this is sort of the pinnacle. It's weird to say that in college athletics because, and most everything else we watch, okay, how are they gonna be in the NBA? How are they gonna be in Major League Baseball? Sure. How NFL? Yeah. Whatever you want to say. But for this, it's kind of how you are. And then, yeah, we might get to see you once every 4 years in the Olympics. You know, it just has never worked, unfortunately, as far as, you know, a pro league. I mean, it's happening, but it's not in the consciousness. And I don't know why that is, but it is. But last night, in front of, as Billy said, almost 13,000 people. I mean, if that doesn't show you, just look at that stadium. It will show you Patty Gasso's effect on softball.
Yeah.
That stadium will show it to you. Not even the one that they're going to build for in Norman. What they've done in Hall of Fame because Oklahoma.
They added that upper deck.
The whole thing. I mean,
and I'll be honest with you. When they added that upper deck, I thought, boy, I hope they can fill it. They have no problem filling it. No problem.
Yeah, that's the... That's the lasting
impact. Speaking of building new stadiums, when they build the new stadium over in Norman, I would hope that they consider somewhere outside the stadium, maybe home plate entrance, something like that, where they have like a dedicated area for a Heisman Park-like area. Because Alo deserves a statue.
A bunch of them do.
Yeah, a bunch of them do.
I mean, Gasso,
Alo, yeah.
And she's just the one that's there right now.
Right.
I mean, and was the greatest, but... Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there too.
Yeah. Kudos to OU softball.
Yeah.
Fun year.
115-7 over the last 2 years.
That's stupid.
Game four tonight, NBA Finals up in Boston. What do you think?
Warriors.
I have a feeling it's that way, too.
Yeah.
You know, a big part of me thinks that this is the series.
Whoever wins this one.
Whoever wins this one's going to win the series.
I felt like that about last night, but I don't know.
If it's Boston, then they're up 3-1. They've got the home game in their pocket in game six. If it's Golden State, then they're tied 2-2 in a three-game series with two of the three on their home floor. But Boston's been great on the road throughout the postseason. I said the other day I didn't know which order it was going to be, but I thought they'd go back 2-2, and I still think that's right. I'm with you. I think the Warriors are going to win this one. If you're Draymond Green, get ready. You just thought it was nasty the other night.
Yeah.
Get ready. Maybe even Clay, too, after his softness was unveiled right there on the dais.
Final thought on that. I would be interested to see what the ratings were like for the Game 3 compared to the softball ratings, just to get an idea. How many people watch which one?
Yeah. Problem. One's on ABC, one's on ESPN2.
True. Well, Game 1 was on the mothership, I thought.
Yeah, maybe. Last night was because of the
hockey.
Last
night was Game 2, yeah. Just curious. I'm not saying the softball overtook it, but yeah, I have a feeling the gap was closed.
That'd be a horrible look for the NBA.
Yes, it would.
All right, so game shows. We made mention to the Price is Right yesterday. I can't even remember maybe what we were talking about, but
I don't remember either. It just went that way.
We were there. So, would you agree with my big three?
With the big top three game shows, Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, and what'd you say, Price is Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Would you agree those are the big three?
Sure. The longevity of them, it's still on. It doesn't seem like it's ever going to stop.
They're the only ones that are on network television.
There you go.
The big over-air networks, they're the only ones that are still moving there.
Right.
Okay, outside of those, what's your favorite? I've got two, one of which was mentioned on the text line.
Outside of those big three, what are my favorite? I would have to – I'll first go to – it first came on and it hit like a wave.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
What?
The Millionaire.
Yes. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And it was cool because when it first came on and you watched so many people almost become a millionaire and didn't, then the first time it happened, it was cool. And then I think the popularity went away. It's like, okay, we saw a guy win it. But that was one of my favorites. Next, can I go on?
Yeah, sure.
Family Feud. Come on.
Family Feud.
Family Feud.
Who doesn't want and who doesn't think that they have a family where you could get five people and go dominate Family Feud? This is actually a conversation within my mother's family.
Oh, really?
Yes. Okay, who would be the best ones? You know, because
that's good.
I mean, because there's like 50 or 60 of us when you start with mom and her two sisters and her brother. Mm-hmm. Then you start filtering down through their kids and then, you know, what have you. Yes, this is absolutely. And there was a point there not too long ago where they had tryouts in Oklahoma City, and I thought I was going to go.
I knew someone who got in.
Do you really?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I guess it fell through or somebody we forgot or whatever, but I couldn't wait because I was clearly one of the five. I mean, come on. But Family Feud is awesome. And another reason why it's awesome, it has stood the test of multiple hosts.
Yes.
Richard Dawson to Ray Combs, Steve Harvey now. And it also, because of the nature of some of the questions that are asked, it leads to hilarious responses.
Yes, because you have to answer real quick, and you get these.
And you might say, yeah.
Might say, yeah.
Especially when you have to hit the button to start the round. You never know what's coming. At least the others kind of have a chance to think about their answer down through the line. Family Feud, 100%. I agree with that one. Another one that I loved as a kid, I actually saw it. We stayed at a casino. Up in Tulsa when we went to the PGA.
Yeah.
And I actually saw this game as a casino game now. Press Your Luck.
Press Your Luck.
Do you know Press Your Luck? You may know it by a different name. No whammies, no whammies.
Okay,
Stop. Press your luck.
Yeah.
And the whammies. And those annoying whammies. Always like that one. Now, I loved Millionaire with Reej. That was a cool show. That was a really good idea.
It was.
And you're right. The anticipation was the first guy's name John that finally did it.
Yeah, yeah.
I could see him. He had glasses, dork.
Yeah, and he used a lifeline to call his dad and say, to tell him he's going to win a million bucks. I just want to tell you I'm about to be a millionaire.
And it was amazing to watch as those questions got harder toward the end, how he had some kind of tie to the answer.
Yeah.
Which he felt more than compelled to tell us about instead of just saying what the answer was.
Inspire Slumdog Millionaire, right?
But for sure, okay. But weren't you like, I mean, I remember watching it live, watching that him do it. And when he had to do the lifeline, you were like, oh, no.
Right.
He doesn't know this one.
He doesn't know it.
And then he said what he said, and you're like, oh, okay, that was, I mean, are we sure that that wasn't rubbing it in? Was that like...
like too cocky.
Like taunting?
Yeah, too, taunting too confident.
Did he taunt Reej with that one? That was a great idea for a show. As far as hosts go, who do you like? Who do you... More importantly, who do you not like?
Wow. If I like a game show, I have to like the host. So that's a hard answer. That's hard to answer. Right?
I don't think so.
You got game shows that you like, but you don't like the host?
This is going to be super, super, super duper.
Controversial, huh?
Controversial.
I got a feeling I know what you're about to say.
I didn't like Alex Trebek.
Oh, that is controversial. Why?
Because he was smarmy. And he acted like he knew all the answers. Guess what? I know. Or he acted like he knew what all the questions, I guess we should say. By the way, that's one thing about Jeopardy. Did you overthink it with making the answer the question? But I know the question too when I've got the thing in front of me, those blue cards with all the answers on it. Somebody get the blue cards out of Alex's hand.
Yeah, it's like the teacher with the teacher's edition.
That's right. Yeah, you got the answer key. Of course you know it.
That's funny.
I didn't really like him because he had that air, and maybe I had to have it as a Jeopardy host. He was obviously a good one because he did for 40 years or whatever. But it just came off like, okay, Alex, why don't you get behind there and you do the buzzing in and answering the question or questioning the answer to see if you really are that smart.
I didn't like this show, in it's because I didn't like the host. I gave it a shot. Remember The Weakest Link?
Excuse me. You are the weakest link.
Yeah, yeah. I had to look up her name. Anne Robinson was the original host. I didn't like her because she was like, I felt like she was mean. I don't know. But I liked the game show host. I liked Drew Carey. I thought he was a great replacement for Bob Barker.
Yeah, see, that's another one. I think it's just because you...
I've always liked Drew Carey.
Bob. Bob Barker was like...
Yeah.
But he's done a good job. The one thing you can say positively is it's still going.
Yeah.
What about... oh, man. What about Chuck Woolery? You know who that is?
No.
Oh, man. He's been the host of a ton of these shows. Spiky hair, kind of. Total tan. Trust me. Google up his name, and you'll have seen him. He was on Scrabble. He hosted Scrabble. He has hosted a ton of these shows. Peter Tamarkin. I think he was the pressure luck guy. No.
No. Not ringing a bell.
I've watched way too many game shows.
Now, there are some game shows that blur the line of game show or...
Wheel of Fortune sucks. I'm going to disagree with that one. I like Wheel of Fortune.
It's frustrating when me and my wife will sit down during dinner and watch it, and she's always quick on the draw. She knows the answers before I do.
Oh, of the puzzles?
Yeah, yeah. We always try to like make each other look smarter or try to be smarter than the other. And I admit, I sometimes cheat. I'll Google the answers and bring up an old episode on the DVR and pretend I'm smart. Survivor, is that a game show?
I was just thinking, that's funny you asked me that because I was wondering the same, like, where do those go to? The Survivor or.
It's a giant game. It is a
show. It is a huge game.
But it's like a giant game of contestants for an entire season.
I mean, Bachelorette, Bachelor. What's the other one where they're in the house?
Big Brother.
Big Brother, yeah.
Yeah.
Are those...
Fear Factor?
I don't think those are game shows.
Fear Factor?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Have you seen the newest stuff? I saw this one the other day. Holy Moly.
What's that?
Look it up. It's basically Putt-Putt and American Ninja Warrior combined.
Oh. Like Wipeout? Except for Putt-Putt?
Or Wipeout. Yeah. It's... So you got this crazy putt-putt course with all the obstacles. It's a tournament format. It's interesting.
I don't think I can say that.
Yeah, Chuck, careful.
I don't think I can say that one. Chuck Woolery hosted the dating game. Oh, there was that. What's his name is on that?
The dating game.
Yeah. What was the name of that? Where they'd be behind the wall? Just ask them questions.
Yeah. I remember that.
Contestant number one.
Yeah.
You know who was a contestant on that show?
Who?
It's been a tough break if you picked him. Ted Bundy.
Oh, my.
Oops.
Oh, my.
Maybe the vetting process wasn't quite strong enough with that one.
Yeah. Wow.
Did you see that? Steph Curry was co-producer on Holy Moly.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I just saw this for the first time the other day, and I was telling a friend about it. I was like, yeah, that's been on a few years.
When we were in Branson last time, two years ago or whatever, in the spring, Will and I were talking about how cool it would be to do a guy's golf trip to Branson, but you could incorporate both regular golf courses and putt-putt golf courses, because there were some awesome putt-putt golf courses in Branson.
Really?
Yes. Like keep your score for the week, handicap it somehow. That'd be cool.
That would be cool.
It'd be really cool. All right. What are you doing this weekend?
A lot of softball. End of season tournament. Hopefully not a lot of softball. Hopefully just win and stay out of that loser's bracket.
Breaking news.
What do you got?
Cincinnati, Houston, UCF have reached an agreement on a deal to exit the AAC, join the Big 12 in the summer of 23. So this will be the last season of the Big 12 as we know it. In football.
Wonder what that means.
Does that mean
Texas.
A 14-team Big 12?
There's a or will chance it be 12? Of some overlap there, yeah. That's interesting. That is interesting.
Because we already knew BYU was coming next year.
Right.
So now, will it be 14 or will it be 12? Billy says 14. I say 12.
Very interesting.
I think there's some reason why OU is now with ESPN Plus. Everybody have a great weekend.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way.